Let's do it on three. 1, 2, 3.
1/2 a step too late or too early. You don't quite make it. 1/2 second too slow, too fast. You don't quite catch it. On this team, we fight for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know that's the difference between winning and losing.
Mean in the green. It's right here for you.
That's football.
Go Mean Green.
Welcome to the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, dedicated to students, alumni, and fans that truly bleed green.
Get the room to breathe.
Follow us on Twitter at GoMeanGreen and visit our website, GoMeanGreen.com.
Love that! Here we go!
Now, your hosts of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, Evan, Harry, and Ashton.
Hello and welcome to the 164th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
This is Ashton.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Gentlemen, not the way we had hoped the season would start out. Against SMU, you just never know. I was happy with how the crowd showed up, but I was not happy how the game progressed.
No, I mean, you wanted to win that game, and it felt like it was a game with the crowd and all the enthusiasm. It was a game we had a chance to win, and we just sort of let it slip through our fingers. I don't feel like we really were able to capitalize. And I feel like we really let them get away with some big plays that shouldn't have happened. But all in all, you got to tip your hat to SMU. They brought a much better crowd, I thought, this year, which helped attendance. And they're a pretty good football team. I'm really interested to see how they're going to fare against Baylor this week. They may get blown away, but I happen to think that they're a better team than what we faced last year.
Yeah, man, mistakes. I mean, that's kind of, you know, we got beat, and that quarterback's pretty good. The other one who threw his first pass, I think, ever, was like an 89-yard touchdown pass, right? But, yeah, just mistakes. I mean, mistakes everywhere. Giving them that touchdown at the end of the second quarter was demoralizing, and that really just kind of summed it up right there. It was, you know, missed chances on our end on offense, and then, you know, not protecting the quarterback, and, you know, it's mistakes.
All right, let's go back just a second, because Harry, you talked about that they brought a great crowd. They did. They brought more than they brought the last time, but I still think that they should have brought more.
I agree with that.
I'm saying in perspective to what happened last year, right? It was just a travesty. Two years ago. But maybe we can build on it. Maybe we can have a little bit more the next time that we play here and just keep building on that. I think it's a great series for us. I think we need to keep playing SMU for as long as we can. We just need to get our program better, you know.
Right, and it is a good series. Both teams can benefit from this series. Yeah, and it was great. A few hiccups. There was long lines everywhere getting the stadium. I don't think that they anticipated the player, the will call, the tickets, the hold up. There was on the will call, there was two windows open, and there was just people running around printing tickets up, and it was, I was in the line for like 45 minutes. And I just, you know, those things, you just got to hope that they get fixed by the next game. But the weather was great. The turnout was a lot better than we think. I think we have turned a corner. We've got a team here that won one game last year, and we got nearly, 24,000 people there.
It's very encouraging.
It is encouraging.
You know, you cannot emphasize enough that we have the potential here. It's just, it would have been so cool to have won that game and seen what would have built on top of it. Now your fear is going into this Bethune-Cookman game, what happens to that? Do we lose 4,000? Do we lose, you know what I mean? Well, that's, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic.
I don't think you're going to lose that many, but I still think you're going to lose some. But, you know, openings, the first game always brings in a huge crowd. But what happened in that game? I mean, when you look at the final score, I felt like we were totally outplayed. I mean, we just lost that game up and down, big plays, and we lost by 13.
Well, it was 34. I mean, we got the late touchdown from the drive from Mason Fine, yep. which was an awesome. I'm not taking away from it, but let's be honest, there's probably their second string and stuff in at that time. So that made the score look a little bit better. But I agree with you. I mean, at the end of the day, to quote a famous coach of ours, 34-21, that's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, that, you know, it felt like a lot worse than that to me. But when you look at the score, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it did feel worse, but the fact that it wasn't worse box score-wise gives me a little bit of hope that, you know, it can feel like it's that bad, but we're still somewhat in the game. And when Mason got when Mason drove down that drove that drive, and we got a touchdown from Wilson, it was, I mean, it was somewhat, you know, it was like, well, okay, well, if we get an onside kick that we kind of botched, and, you know, if a couple of things bounce our way, we're right back in the game, you know. And it just, and again, you know, talking about Mason and the starters, I didn't really get a chance to look at. I was too busy watching him. I didn't really get a chance to look at to see who was in during that drive. But the next drive, you know, they made some adjustments clearly, because the next drive when he went in, nothing happened and he almost got picked.
All right, so let's don't talk. Let's step back a little bit. Big plays, gave up quite a few.
They were all
big. A lot
plays.
Of people were talking about the secondary. I mean, every time there was a guy open, it always seems like there was two North Texas guys together on nobody. And then they had one of the SMU guys, the receiver was wide open. When we had two of our guys just kind of like covering each other, you know, 15 yards away from the play, what happened? What was going on there?
You know, I think some of it can be chalked up to new system, trying to get everything. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things. I on the sidelines, I heard a lot of, you know, Reffitt and talking to Keyshawn and James Gray. And they were just trying to figure out coverages. Like, what did they do here? Did they do the flip on this one? Did they have trips? Okay, well, when that happens, you got to do this. And did you get hung up here? And Keyshawn was like, yeah, I kind of got hung up there on that play. And, you know, I was trying to kind of listen in to see exactly why, what the answers were. And what it seemed like to me is that it was adjusting. They didn't play well, for sure. The secondary did not play well. But you could chalk up to an adjustment, maybe. But
we're deep there.
Yeah, but we are deep. I know. But again, it's the first game with the. I mean, there's so many things that could have gone right in that game, and we still could have lost. You know, it's just there's. It's the first game, and we didn't know what to expect, and maybe the players didn't know what to expect.
I'm typically not a stat oriented guy, but I do. One stat this from this game jumps out at you. Net yards rushing, SMU 272 yards on the ground, North Texas 83.
That's going to happen, though, with this offense.
Well,
right?
I understand, but that's so diametrically different than what a MAC team would typically, you know, would typically see. Now, passing yards, listen to this, 300 yards passing for SMU, 311 yards passing for North Texas. So we're definitely throwing the ball.
And how many of those SMU ones were on just those big plays?
Oh, yeah. Just
you take that out of the equation, and they're
– if you take away the Hail Mary touchdown – and then you take away the busted coverage on the other Sutton touchdown. I mean, that kid's good. I mean, that guy's really, really good. But
but he's also not that good. I mean, we had a guy in position to bat that ball down, and we just didn't make the play. And that was one thing that I was.
You talking about the Hail Mary?
Yeah.
It was just
four
bad jump.
Guys down there.
Yeah, one in particular.
Four guys, and then three really had chances to make the play. And that's what was, you know, it just seemed like Chad Davis jumped just a split second too late, and then James Gray was kind of coming around the back of him to maybe play the long ball. I mean, again, I don't know how they're coached at that situation. I mean, I've always heard, you know, just knock it down.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seemed like Cortland knew exactly where to go, and our guys were just trying to find where he was going to go, and it was just kind of a, you know, maybe they didn't look at the ball well enough. They Chad definitely got turned around. But overall,
well, when you look at that, they were 4th and 40. The defense was playing good. Everybody were pushing them back.
Oh,
they were
forcing
shooting
penalties.
Them,
yeah.
Oh, we were forcing penalties. It was like
it was
all
momentum
right,
swinging.
This is looking. This was good. Yeah. And then, and actually, my son said it. Oh, they're going to need a miracle here, and it damn sure happened.
And we didn't stop Matt Davis. Let's be honest, guys. Matt Davis,
guy,
we did not stop him.
He was all over the place.
Wheeler
we could not
him.
Wrap up.
Wheeler knocked him out of the game.
Well, what was the final? Did he? I didn't hear.
He's still questionable for Baylor.
So what was the injury?
He grabbed his knee.
Yeah, I didn't get specifics on
he
it.
He was grabbing his, like, I was watching the highlights over and over while editing, and it looked like he was grasping his knee, but the way that Wheeler hit him, he hit him very clean up top. So I almost thought he got the wind taken out of him the first time I looked at it, but then he was clutching his knee when he went off.
Then
somebody told me that he busted up his knee, but I can't find anything online saying that he busted up his knee. Yeah. So
he's a good player.
He's really
good.
And
we could not wrap up on him. And
missed tackles,
now let's go to Morris. What were your thoughts on Morris? Let me just start off, and I'll tell you that I don't think I've seen a quarterback that looked as comfortable and composed back there.
But scrambling for his life.
Well, no, I don't think he always was, because there's a lot of times when everything was collapsing in on him, and he stood there and delivered. And, yeah, he wasn't on, and he was a little rusty, I guess, but he was like a professional quarterback from what, you know, he had that feel to him, you know, that the bot, it was collapsing around him. He didn't just take off and run for his life. Now, towards the end of the, you know, he started to make things happen. But, and then the throw for the touchdown that was the flip. I mean, he was running to his right, threw back, across his body. It was a good, or, you know, it was a good pass. And you could see little things there. But the question is he going to be able to step it up for the next few weeks? Is he going to be able to get the protection that he needs?
The protection thing's definitely a big question. Anybody watching the game could figure that out. But I really hope that – I wasn't a big fan of putting Mason in. I still don't really – they have a plan, obviously. They have a plan. And maybe this was the plan from the beginning. I don't know. But, you know, burning a shirt and going through all that. And I don't – I hope you don't do that to a guy after three quarters, honestly. Like, he needs the chance to kind of prove himself, right?
Right, so, and by the time they put him in, half the crowd had already just said, okay, that's just it was in the bag, and everybody was leaving. And then so there was a few people that were thinking, oh, wow, they're putting Fine in. And I wish more people could have seen that, because it was really towards the end, and things had kind of been set in stone for at least, you know, 5 to 7, 8 minutes before that.
I thought Fine looked incredibly good. I mean, for a true freshman to come on the field in the first collegiate game that he had, I really dispute anyone that says that wasn't a pretty impressive performance.
Well, this is usually where Ashton taps the brakes and goes, ah.
No, he that drive was really well. The next drive was crap. No, I mean, it's like, so we're just going to ignore the fact that he almost got picked twice, and then he
went, no, went, I don't,
like,
I don't
a
think
three
that.
And out. I mean,
but I think coming in as a true freshman, when he did, and completing the passes he did, scrambling the way he did, you saw things that it was different than what happened earlier.
His pump fake scramble when he, like, threw his left hand up, not even the hand he throws with, he threw his left hand up, and that was, he ran right by us, right? And that was impressive. The dude has got an immense amount of talent, and I'm never going to take that away from him. And I like the kid. You know, he seems like he's got a great head on his shoulders. He's nice. He's well-spoken. He's a good kid. You know, it's just, the thing that I don't, again, what I said earlier is I don't understand why you do that unless you have some kind of plan. And I trust the staff. I'm going to say they do. I would be scared that it's going to totally kind of shatter Alex's confidence. I don't think it will. I mean, I saw him the other day. He looked pretty good still. So I don't think it is, but that would kind of creep into my mind a little bit.
So do you think that do you think we'll see a two-quarterback approach for the rest of the year?
Definitely. I mean, I don't think they play Fine in that game unless they intend on playing him in the remainder of the season. Now, I thought Morris had a good game. I didn't think he had his best game. I think that interception, you know, was – the interceptions concerned me a little bit. But, you know, he's new to the program. Like you said earlier on, his arm strength is up there with anybody better than anyone we've ever had. So I think either one of them are going to be improvement over what we've seen prior.
When, you know, the thing about Morris that, I mean, again, you know, it depends on how you look at it. You can sit there and say that he was under duress and he got hit. So maybe a couple of those picks were because he was under duress, he got hit. You know, I know one of them for sure, he got hit like in the leg when the ball went up and it kind of fluttered. The T. Goree intended pass, that seemed like a miscommunication, because T. kind of threw his hands up in the air, and on the sidelines they were kind of talking about just how they weren't really on the same page. So, again, that could just be rust, and it sucks because getting rust knocked off is going to account for an interception, and it's still in the stat sheet. But I didn't dislike a lot of what I saw from Alec. I like how he stood there in the pocket a few times, took some hits, didn't I mean, again, this guy hasn't gotten hit in 4 years. He hasn't even gotten hit. If you think about it, I mean, scrimmages he won't get hit. Practice he won't get hit. He's just not going to get hit. He's a quarterback, and he hadn't played a meaningful game in a while.
If he rolls out this week, if he rolls out for starting for the rest of the season, unless we see something totally crazy from Fine, I mean, you roll out with Alec. He has the skills. Like I said, he looks like the most composed quarterback I've seen that we've had in a long time.
And let's keep in mind, guys, programs, they typically get better. They get better the most between the first and second game. So there's a lot that they can tweak this week. And you know, we're not playing SMU. Now, who we're playing, we don't need to overlook. But I think you could see some pretty vast improvement from Alec and the receivers. You know, one thing I wanted to mention on the coach's show, one of Latrell's biggest – and he was not a happy camper about losing, by the way. He does not like to lose. But one of the biggest complaints that he had was the physicality of the wide receivers. I mean, which I thought was kind of interesting. But he just said they weren't physical enough. And I bet you money they're going to come out physical as they've ever been against Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, Latrell wasn't happy. He seemed kind of, you know, I mean, pissed, really, to be honest. I mean, he seemed kind of, you know, he kind of just stole his bike. You know, he wasn't happy. I think he was disappointed about the mistakes more than anything. I think that he didn't expect to go out there and just blow the pants off of SMU. But he wanted these little mental mistakes, Creighton Barr's penalty, you know, just, you know, botched protection packages and not picking up blitzes. You know, overall, there weren't a ton of dropped passes, I don't think. I don't feel like there were a lot of, like, balls that should have been caught that were dropped, like, out of the guy's hands. You know, we didn't turn the ball over a ton outside of interceptions. We didn't have a lot of fumbles. We didn't do anything like that. So that's good. You know, we didn't get any – I don't know how many penalties we had on offense, but I don't feel like we had a lot of penalties. So just the protection wasn't great, but – you know, I don't know. It's one of those games where you can sit there and say, okay, take the positives out of it, or you can still get really mad and sit there and say, oh, nothing's changed. I mean, I'm going to look at it and say that I'm still excited about the prospects that we have here. I think that the offense was, you know, we're throwing the ball at least. We can be happy about that, right?
Absolutely.
Jeffrey Wilson, T. Goree had career highs in catches, you know, and those are our two of our best playmakers. So
it's going to get better with time. It's going to get better with time. They're going to get things down. They're going to correct some of these mistakes. So don't lose hope. It's just a first game. It's disappointing, but, hey, the future is still bright. I like the direction that this program's going. I like the offense. I like what we're doing.
Do we like the two-quarterback approach? I mean, are we on board with that? I mean, I know that we saw some teams do it this weekend. I mean, Texas won a game, but, you know, but that was a little bit – Those are like package quarterbacks. These quarterbacks are basically going to do the same stuff. You know, I don't think they're going to have Mason roll out a lot and do read options because he's, you know, small and want to get him lit. And he's probably a little bit more athletic than Alex, so he's not going to, you know. So it seems like it's going to be the same kind of packages, but are we going to get that?
I'm fine with it. I mean, I honestly, we have two better quarterbacks than we had in the program last year, the way I look at it.
Yeah, no, I agree with
although
that.
DeMarcus Smith had it, I don't want to even go down that road.
Well, I totally agree.
Street ball.
I don't think we've seen enough to really make a total decision one way or the other. I mean, you just keep rolling it out there. I feel like we're in a better position than we were last year. And I feel like after this and seeing what we did against – I think SMU is going to win against a good amount of games.
I don't think they're a bad team.
No, I don't think they are.
I think last year we should have beat them. We could have beat them. We should have beat them. We were beating them. But I think that they look like – they look better on defense, you know, for sure, than they did last year. Again, I don't know how much of that was we were giving – you know, throwing the ball to them like we're talking about, but and how much credit we should give them on that. But they seem to be – that, you know, they knew how to cover a team like this.
And let me say this. You know, we talked a lot about the 3-3-5, the new defensive scheme that Mike Eckler is rolling in here. I think a real story to watch this season is how does the 3-3-5 do against the run? Because against SMU, there were some gaping holes out there and some missed tackles and some other things. And that's concerns me a little bit because that's been the knock I've heard on the 3-3-5 is that it can be a little weaker against the run. It's great for blitzing and pass defense, you know, and things of that nature. But that's one thing. If we're not able to defend the run, it could be a very long season.
Well, how do the next several teams stack up against a run? I mean, what
– And did we blitz a lot? I mean, sometimes Like, I mean, I'm not seeing the blitzing that well from where I'm at. Were we blitzing a lot?
You know, when we did, that quarterback was so shifty back there. I mean, every time we had some kind of pressure, he was out of it.
The fact that we got the pressure on him made me really excited about the prospects of the defense. He's just really shifty. I mean, you got to give Davis some credit at some point in time and say, like, you can't bring him down. He was impossible to bring down.
Yeah,
like,
and I the first thing I did was look up. I said, this guy, please tell me this guy's a senior. And he is. But yeah. He was. I'm going to give him props, you know. And when he went down, I felt bad for him. But man, he was good, and he needed to sit down for a while.
Yeah, Wheeler just knocked him down. Yeah. I mean, you know, Wheeler's another guy that I liked watching out there. I thought that, you know, I was looking. I spent a lot of time looking at the new guys, and probably more time looking at the new guys and actually like watching to see what was going on when I wasn't buried in the camera, and. You know, watching, you know, when Hamilton would run out there, I would kind of watch to see what he did that play, mm-hmm. you know, and Wheeler making tackles. There was a couple times where Wheeler got in the backfield and it just wasn't on his side, but he was in the backfield, you know, and then he had that one sack that was big. He had the hit against Davis. You know, there's some, you know, Courtney Finney was kind of all over the place like he usually is. Fred Scott, and he didn't have that many tackles, so I don't really know how you equate his game. I think he kind of tweaked his ankle, but he's fine now, so. I don't know. I mean, I think that there's the defense, you know, besides obviously the secondary blowing some big plays at 89 and then the Hail Mary. And I think the run was 49 yards, right?
Two big plays. You take those two big plays out, it's an even closer game. And you just have to wonder. I mean, that and going into halftime, I mean, there's just so many things that could have, should have, maybe would have. But overall, disappointed when the game was over. The more I thought about it, the more I know what's going on and where we're at and fine and how he's going to play into the future. I still feel pretty good.
Yeah, and the interesting thing on this Bethune-Cookman team is that, you know, their game last week canceled. So we don't really know.
Like 40 plays they had. Like we've only got 40 plays of tape.
Yeah, we don't have
enough.
We don't have much to gather from what they're going to be like this year. But I've heard they're a fairly competitive lower level team. So you got to be careful. We know that.
No,
after Portland State.
Yeah, I mean, and they're probably better than Portland State. I think. I just think we're better too. And it's not. It's the cards aren't completely against us. Like going in that Portland State game that just had. Bad news written all over it.
Right, it did. I mean, even though that was bad. We don't know. We've obviously got Bethune-Cookman coming up, and we have Florida.
Bethune-Cookman won 9 games last year, by the way.
They're good.
Awesome. So we don't bring the spare lower-level teams in. We bring in good.
Hey, where's Nichols, man? Let's get Nichols back up here.
Can't we get Nichols in here?
We need a JV, you know, scrimmage. Let's do that.
So we've got some after this coming week. I mean, I'm not downplaying this week, but we've got a little bit of a schedule here.
I think the goal was to come out of this 2-0. Obviously, that sounds ridiculous, but I think it was really important just looking at the rest of the schedule that these were going to be two very winnable games. You know, there's only about four or five that we definitely, you know, almost should win. You know, outside of. I don't know how you feel about SMU being on that list, but
well, yeah, Florida did struggle early.
SEC struggled, man.
Yeah, and then we've got Rice in Middle Tennessee. So.
Rice is a winnable game. I'm going to say it right now.
Okay, that's
ooh,
that's
sports opinion.
That is
Harry,
at Rice.
Harry's on the record.
So we lost to SMU. Bethune-Cookman. Obviously, we don't know what we're dealing with. They could be hiding all sorts of secret weapons on their team. Then, we go to Florida and then at Rice before coming home for Middle Tennessee and Marshall.
Tough schedule, man.
It is. And then we go to Army, then go to UTSA, Louisiana Tech.
And Army, I love this. Someone was telling me, trying to argue with me on the board about, well, Army's not really that big. And I was trying to say they're a physical team. I watched them on TV, man. They pound and smash the ball. And I can't remember the opponent. I mean, they look good this year.
Speaking of which, this was a rare situation this past weekend because – first started out at 4:00 on Thursday afternoon with the Beyond the Green episode, which we'll get into in a minute. And then that night, I'm watching Appalachian State and Tennessee, which
great
ended,
game.
Yeah, heart pounding,
great
at 11 awesome. O'clock at night. And then Friday night, I did a little high school ball, but then I watched other games when I got home. Saturday morning, woke up, take my son to football at 6:30 in the morning, and I start watching Boston College and Georgia Tech playing in Ireland.
Right.
So you got to start there. That was over. You know, did a little stuff around the house, then watched the Houston.
Awesome.
The Houston-Oklahoma game, which was another great game. And, you know, before heading up to North Texas, there was some really good football. The Texas game Saturday.
Best opening weekend ever.
It
ever,
really was.
Ever.
Without question.
It was awesome.
You just had game after game. I mean, when you can get up Saturday morning and there's
game,
a 6:30 game on in the morning.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night and then Monday night. I mean, it was this.
You
was
have this
great.
Weekend. There's no good. I mean, there's one good game. Arkansas and TCU, I think, is the only good game in the whole schedule.
Yeah, that's right. That's at TCU, right?
Yeah,
that's at TCU.
Yeah, that and TCU was kind of looking a little odd there too.
Yeah.
Early in their game, so it was a great weekend of football. Wish we could have pulled it against SMU, but it was still a great weekend of football. And it's that time of the year where we can get. All right, I want to address a couple of things before we get into Beyond the Green and some other people had posted about. I just wanted everybody to realize that when you post something on GoMeanGreen.com, that post can sometimes become an automatic tweet. Do we turn that off, or is it just automatic still?
Some are automatic, some are manual if it's getting a lot of
Which
traffic.
Post are we talking about?
I'm talking about the one that says, here's a real band.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what?
Silver Eagle?
Yes. I am sorry. You know what? Move on. I understand that you wish the band. I've always wondered why our band, we have the greatest music school in the country or one of the best, but we always are compared to other bands and why aren't we doing this and why aren't we doing that? And you know what? I know there was like, well, we don't have time to do this. I just feel like we should bring more. And I understand that, but just to beat that drum all the time.
Different people have different things about football. You know, it can be X's and O's. It can be tailgating. It can be, and for some people, the band. And you would not believe how spirited some of these discussions are about the band.
Yeah, I know.
And I've always thought the band sounds great.
I did too.
But
they
the issue
great.
Is not the sound. It's that they're not marching, and it's the pageantry, the type of uniforms that they're wearing. And I guess, you know, there's
And it is concerning. You do sit there and go, we've got one of the greatest music schools around. How do we not bring something? People expect, oh, they got a great music school. What is their band going to be like? Why isn't that a flagship for the university? I understand it. But you know what? Putting it on the board, throwing it out there, and then putting a link to Ohio going, oh, now this is a real band. You know what? Does no good whatsoever.
Right.
That's not going to help the cause out.
But every post on the board is supposed to help the cause out?
No, but what I'm saying is, it's what does that do?
That one's questionable as far as in the whole important scheme of things in my mind. I understand people like it, and there's debates about it, but I like our band. I think our band sounds really, really good.
I do, too. They sounded really good. The fans really, I mean, you know.
Wait, we have a band?
I tell you one thing. Those two guys, there's two trumpet players that played a solo in the middle of the halftime, surrounded by the dance team. Those two trumpet players have never got that much action in their entire life because they were surrounded by a circling group of dance team members.
Man? They might reel it in.
No. Okay. And then there was two, and each one of them had one to Fair their enough. Side. And it, they were like, that was their moment right there.
And also when we tailgate, you know, the band comes down the Mean
Do they
Green
still
walk.
Do that?
Yeah.
I missed
it. And it's really cool because, man, that drum, one of my favorite parts about the band is the drum line.
Well, I think it was originally meant for that was the sign that, hey, let's start wrapping up the tailgating and come on in. But North Texas people go, you know what, we got time.
No, they love their tailgating, I can tell you that.
Mm. It's hard to believe that, you know, less than 20 years ago
there was no tailgating.
It was illegal.
Yeah, insurance risks.
All right, so anything else about game day experience you thought?
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
the
good.
Tailgating was awesome. The game didn't turn out, but the turnout was fantastic. I mean,
third largest, right?
Our fans are so good.
Oh yeah,
I can't wait to bring that up because
in the room is, and he's still in there. Said and I'm going to quote that he said that there would be no more than 13,000 people there at the SMU game.
Basically 25,000.
So when you say that, and you almost double that number. This just tells me that the
There's
fans
hope.
Are there.
There's hope.
For a team that hasn't been very constructive, when you got that many fans, just think of the years if we were winning. And if we came off of a winning year, going towards a great, you know, first game, this first, you know, if we had a game somewhere, a away game to start off, and then a first home game after coming off, I mean, really, we're 5,000 fans away from basically packing the house there.
Yeah.
That's crazy when you think we've got 25 and 30 packs the house.
Yeah, it's nice to see that.
It's close. We're out, very close.
Yeah, it's nice to see after coming out 1-11 that if we give the fans something to be excited about, people are going to show up. That's nice, you know. Unfortunately, we lose the first game, and then, you know, we're sitting here talking about how many people we're going to lose and, you know, or the fans that we're going to lose to come to the game, and then, yeah, that becomes a reality. And, you know, that's just the struggle.
And it's not just losing the game. It's losing important games. Yeah, those opening games of the season, the games against your crosstown rival.
Right.
You know, they carry more weight than, I'm sorry, Middle Tennessee State does.
All right, so there was a lot of recruits there because I walked by the line of like 100 people that were trying to get their will call tickets.
A lot of recruits, man.
And, you know, we had a card table set up on the side there to get those recruits their tickets. And I'm not making fun of the athletic department here, but that was when we're trying to get recruits tickets and we're trying to sell them on this university, a card table with 100 people in line is probably not the best way to do it.
Yeah,
especially when you're standing in the sun on that side of the stadium.
You could rethink that.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I'm a little disappointed in that. But there was a lot of recruits there.
Well, just like the football team, I think Ren Baker just started. You know what I mean? Give him some time. He'll be able to work through some of the kinks.
No,
we had the survey. Did
now.
Y'all fill out your survey? Here's a question. Evan, did you fill out your survey? I did fill out my survey.
I did fill out my survey.
And I think that was a very smart idea. Ashton's just kind of sinking in the corner because he didn't fill his out.
I was filming Ren give the surveys out to fans. Okay, how about that?
Okay,
so I didn't get a survey. I'm going to big time you now.
But I think that's a really great idea because we're given this kind of feedback, hopefully in a constructive way. I know I tried to do that. And there's way more positives than there were negatives. But I will say this, that I think that it's going to get better. We have a great new AD and now COO, whatever the title is.
Mosley.
Yeah, for Mosley. So it's only going to get better as time goes on.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad that approach that you have right there, I think, is what everybody needs to. Because, you know, I still know a lot of fans that are sitting there saying, oh, you know, it's never going to get better. You know, these guys, who's Ren Baker? You know, but I mean, we have to look forward to something. And, yeah, granted, we don't know if he's going to work out. He could be the best AD in the world. He could be the worst AD ever. Probably not the worst. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where we have some things to be happy about. We have some things to look forward to. We don't know, you know, how this is all going to pan out. But at least we need to change. We want to change. We got change. You know, it'd be nice. I enjoyed talking to a lot of people before the game at tailgate. And, you know, some of these guys are on the board right now. It was fun talking to these guys about, like, what could happen. What do we need to do? You know, somebody asked me, you know, what have I seen at practice recently that I'm excited about? And that was pretty cool because I was able to share what I'm excited about and then, you know, to them. And then they had something different. But then, you know, it's like it's cool. It's a nice time right now. And I think that's important.
It is.
Maybe.
No, it was great. And I did go in third quarter to get my wife a beer because she was sick of the kids getting antsy and wanting food. So, and then it took exactly like 3 minutes to get a beer, and there was plenty. So that was
a good
experience. That was a good experience. Here's what I don't get. The athletic department puts out a website talking about concessions, and it lists all these concessions, which seem like just the concessions from last year. But my question is, like, they had Rosa's Tortilla Factory. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
There was a sign there for Rosa's Tortilla Factory, but that wasn't on the concessions website. So I don't understand why they put together a concessions website if everything wasn't listed on there.
I don't either.
All right. Must have been an intern project or something. I don't know. It didn't make sense. But all right. So we talked about there was a lot of recruits there. So, you know, let's make a quick call and talk to the real JD. And give us a quick update on who the recruits that he happened to see and what, you know, what came out of that weekend. So for those of you in the chat room, please talk amongst yourselves. Everybody else, a bathroom break. For those of you listening on iTunes, you won't hear a break, but stay with us, and we'll be back in 1 second.
I got to meet JD out there. It's cool. It's a good dude.
second.
All right, joining us on the phone right now is our resident recruiting guru, the real JD. Hey, buddy, so you're out at the game. A lot of players there. What are your thoughts on all those recruits?
Yeah, I never got a actual head count, but there was definitely over 25. I mean, there was the whole sideline when I came down was full of nothing but recruits. The main two of our commits was Cade Pearson and Tyreek Davis. They were actually the first two I saw, but several pretty good recruits out there, that's for sure. I didn't get an official list, but definitely a handful of guys I could recognize and stuff.
So when you get in a game like that, it doesn't turn out your way. I mean, it has to be impressive for them to see the crowd that was there and the enthusiasm from the fans and, keeps you in the ball game, I would think, for these guys.
Absolutely. And the guys I talked to afterwards, I mean, it was, the game didn't turn out the way they wanted to, but, I mean, just like the recruits, just like the players, I mean, I think they believe it's a process. I mean, it's that was game one. I mean, that was just, I guess you look at it as kind of like a stepping stone. I mean, that was not the finished product. And, I mean, even the actual players, I mean, I've seen a bunch of stuff on Twitter and talking to a few of the coaches. I mean, like the players are – They're upset about the loss, but they understand, like, that's not the finished product. You got to keep working. You got to keep going. I think recruiting, too, like, yeah, I mean, a bunch of the recruits there wish it was a win, but they could see the product, see what's happening. And like I said, they could see the fan enthusiasm. I mean, on the field, it was looking up. There was a lot of green, and you could definitely feel the energy.
So we talk about prospects and recruiting whenever we get with you, but we also like to hear your thoughts on the game. Just kind of summarize your feelings on the game against SMU and your take on things.
Yeah, it didn't. Well, I thought it was going to go, and didn't go the way I hoped it was going to go. But I don't want to be a what if. To me, just one or two things really swung momentum, and I mean just. The score, I mean, I don't even think the score was as I think it was like 13 points, but I felt like it was closer and just a few little things here and there. I mean, it was, I think we play them another 10 times. I mean, it's going to be, UNT is going to pull some of those out. And I think, we play them later on in the year. It'll be a pretty good ball game.
Any other activity that you're seeing out there on Twitter or the various social medias in terms of guys that we're looking at right now?
There was the cornerback. He's pretty interested from Reagan. I guess Reagan High School is Cameron Johnson. I think he's interested. There's a couple kids from North Crowley there. One guy that stood out in particular just by his size. He reminded me of Ladarius Hamilton. I mean, just the way he stood out. I talked to him just for a second, and then me and Green are recruiting him. He's kind of under the radar. 6'4". Defensive end, outside linebacker, hybrid type that I guess Eckler's brought in a couple guys like that. And he said, Mean Green was recruiting him pretty hard and he was interested. So that was the kind of a guy that just stood out just as soon as I walked out there, just seeing the recruits looking. That was one of the guys that really caught my eye. And watching his video, I mean, he kind of reminds me just of Darius Hamilton, just the athletic, 6'4", could do put his hand on the ground, and he could be an outside linebacker.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Since you know how this works and how a lot of we bring in recruits and things to games, is it a steady flow for the rest of the home games, or do we better chance they're trying to bring some of the other ones in for Marshall, or it's whoever's got availability? How do they decide that and when they're going to bring them in?
From what I've got, it's kind of, I guess like each position coach, they get their certain guys they're bringing. Because I feel like the way they want to do it is bring in, the maximum guys, but the guys, enough guys they can, but they get them enough attention to. I don't think they want to bring, so many guys that, because I've seen Eckler and the coaches while they're on the sidelines come over there, visit with them, talk to them for a little bit. I mean, I'm sure they don't want, so many guys that they can't go around, talk to, acknowledge. So that was kind of neat. You could see the – and you could kind of tell by their size, what position they were. But almost every position coach came over there before the games and pregame warmups, shook hands, talked to him for a little bit, and like I said, I talked to other guys that couldn't make it this week, but they were scheduled to come to other games later on down the road. So I would look for the steady that 25 to 30 guys, hopefully every game.
Yeah, I mean, hey JD, what's up, man? What I usually see after the games in the locker room or something like that is, and I always kind of wondered this, and I think I kind of figured it out last year. There's always one coach that is talking to the majority of the recruits, you know, after they kind of break down and they let the recruits in the locker room and just kind of talk to the coaches a little bit, you know, after the team breaks out and starts getting ready to leave and everything. It is kind of interesting to see the coach kind of interact with them, and then, but you really do only see usually one guy talking to the majority of them, and then there might be some pockets here or there, another coach talking to some parents and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, JD's, what you said, where you think that it's kind of like one guy at a time. I think that the way it works is that each game a coach gets, you know, a majority of the guys that he's looking at, and then, you know, a certain availability might come in. But I think it is kind of a coach-by-coach game thing, something like that.
Yeah. I've seen that. The guy I've seen over there the most of the recruits is Eckler, which I was kind of excited about. Was just,
it's good.
Since he's arrived, I would have to say probably the most successful recruiter on the staff has been Eckler. So seeing him over there couldn't hurt.
Yeah, I think that when I look at it now, I think that, you know, Eckler, the addition is great. Perry, we know, is a good recruiter. Eckler's already made some waves since he's been here. And Maynard, I mean, those three guys alone are, I know, hit the recruiting trail really hard. I know that Eckler, as soon as he got here, he was out. And he was out there, you know, trying to shake some trees and get some guys that, you know, to come aboard.
Hey, quick question, and you may not know the answer to this, JD, but – Do we know who recruited Ladarius Hamilton, Hambone?
That was Eckler.
That's Eckler, yeah.
I got to tell you, man, that kid,
he loves him. He loves him too, man.
He can play.
In the meetings, you know, it took me – I didn't immediately know that Hambone was Hamilton, and I kind of forgot who Hamilton was. Because, you know, signing day comes and then it leaves, and unless you're JD, you don't know these names, like, all the time. So, like, you know, when I'm going into, you know, doing training camp and filming and everything like that, kind of forgot about some of these guys, and he kept saying Hambone. I was like, that's a funny nickname. Or is that this guy's last name? And I went to look at the roster. I was like, oh, that's Hamilton. Okay. I was like, that's right. You know, so it kind of took me a second.
That was one of my takeaways from the SMU game was two guys that stood out to me. They were both true freshmen, and both, we talk about offer lists and offer sheets and all that all the time. One was Mason Fine, which we all know, you know, had no offers besides, you know, the preferred walk on Oklahoma. He stood out. And the other one was Ladarius Hamilton, and he went, I don't remember who Division II was. Had a couple offers here and there, but at the end it was just us in a Division II school for him. And I mean, watching him the other night, I was just like, wow, this guy's a true freshman. You know,
he's going to be a good one, man. Yeah. He's going to be a really good one.
That made me excited about the recruiting, just for that they can maybe find some of those gems, you know, that nobody else seen or nobody else offered. And that was exciting.
Well, good stuff as usual, JD. We appreciate you following this closely for us, and we'll be back in touch. Hopefully we'll have some more good recruiting information coming up next week.
Absolutely. Sounds good, guys.
All right, thanks for joining.
Thanks, JD.
Take care, man.
Go Mean Green.
All right, so, yeah, there was a lot of recruits there, so I'm glad he got some information on who was there, and because, you know, this will be the first full recruiting class.
I mean, you'd love to win the game and win over some recruits that way, but I do love the fact that we had almost 25,000 people there. The fans were really into the game. So those recruits, even though we lost, they come away saying, wow, you know, this place is pretty serious. You know, they're pretty legit about their football experience. So I think that leaves a good impression.
Well, then, what else we had to review?
Beyond the Green, we needed to talk about that for just a minute.
Yeah, you know what? This is the first time we've had a discussion or a show since the first episode aired. And I texted Ashton after it aired in that evening, and I was watching it. My wife was watching. She's like, "Wow, that's pretty nice for North Texas." It's like, "Yeah, that's great." And she's like, "That's like really well done." I was like, "Yeah." I mean, it's and if you saw the guy put it together, you'd really be impressed.
You'd question how that even happened.
Oh,
I mean, you'd be like, "Wait, that guy really? That idiot."
And you know what, though? Seriously, actually, really, I mean, as much as we give you a hard time about it, how it is such a a positive for the university.
Yeah.
And the work is, yeah, go ahead. His head's getting bigger here. But seriously,
I can't fit it
is,
the door
it
the
is really, it is really well-produced show. It seems really professional, something you would see ESPN putting out or, you know, on one of their main shows. I mean, it's great for the school. I think a lot of people thought the same thing. The segment at the end with the guys walking around campus.
That was kind of funny.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was and the funny thing about that segment is that was strung together at like 3:30 that afternoon. I was kind of looking for, I need to see something off the field to have more fun. I had a football segment and I was like, man, this is just a football heavy show. I need something fun. And Fred Scott, Day in the Life Of, was there, but I needed something else. And Kenny and I, you know, had become, you know, fairly close. And I just texted him. I was like, hey, man, what time do you have class today? Can I throw a mic on you and just let's walk through class? And he goes, and walk through campus. And he's like, yeah, you want me to bring Alec? I was like, oh, perfect. Well, I'll bring Alec and then let's ask people if they know who Alec is. And Alec was a trooper, man. And he was really funny. Like, I really shook his hand briefly a week before that, but this was the time that we were interacting, and he had a lot of funny ideas. There's a lot of things that didn't make the show that were really funny, like moments that were really funny. We just didn't have enough time, so that was pretty
cool.
For
instance.
No, just there's some people that didn't know that weren't going to come to the game or didn't really know. There's just people that you saw them, and you're like, they're probably not going to go to the game, but Kenny would walk over there and be like, hey, man, you going to the game? What game? And it was just, and then Alec goes, I'll be like, the football game. Right over there, and like point to it, and then it was just kind of a funny moment. And you know, we can't use all right. that stuff. And you know, I mean, obviously there's going to be some fans, especially this kind of school, that aren't knowing.
Well, about, you know, when I watched that, I laughed, and then half of me was just kind of going, oh geez, hope people show up.
Yeah, no,
because you're like, oh gosh, but
trust
they
me,
did.
Man, I started getting like the kid in the red who goes, oh, Alec Morris is the quarterback. Like the poor kid, like, we accosted that poor kid, and I mean, he was scared.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, and he kept looking back at the camera like, oh, Alec Morris? And then he's like, oh, and then Kenny's like, you do know. And he's like, and then when Kenny said, maybe we should take you to the football team, maybe we should go find some football players, maybe they know who you are. And that was just really funny. And Alec took it in stride, which was great. But the thing that I don't know way I think this season's kind of shaping out, just to kind of give everybody a heads up, is you know, everybody's used to those kind of stories and the features about players, but at the same time, like, and I don't know, I mean, I want to get your two opinions on this. You know, one of the directions I wanted to go this year was I wanted to see a lot of the football stuff behind the scenes, because this is a staff we have no idea about. You know, so there might be a little bit more documentary, real reality stuff going on that just kind of like, as it happens, kind of capturing moments and stuff like that, and as opposed to, you know, a feature on Jeffrey Wilson's mother or something like that. You know, there might be more of the what's going on behind closed doors. How is the team preparing? How are they doing this? You know, all the little things that we don't know about. And I think that some people are going to love that. Some people are probably going to be like, your wife might not like that, Evan, because it's not as much of the, you know, how, you know, they're going to see these guys in pads. But frankly, in my opinion, and this is where I want you guys to chime in, I'm interested in seeing what the new staff does and how they operate. You know, all the things that we saw over the years with the old staff, we knew that they were doing. You know, this is a new staff. We don't really know these guys.
Right, right. You know what? And if you sprinkle in a little fun or campus, you know, because a lot of people that are watching this, they want to know about the football and they want to know about the players and get them interested. But when you throw something out there and they're walking around, because you know what I was thinking? Okay, where are they at right now? Oh, there's Chilton Hall right there. Okay,
right,
I know.
Right.
You got a lot of people that are kind of like, oh, I know where that's classes and, you know, going around and somebody sitting there reading the daily and going through the buildings. I mean, there's a lot of people sitting there going, oh, this is, you know, this. It was kind of an insight for people that haven't been up to campus while there's actually classes going on or seeing how, I mean, the thing with this Moji notebook, I mean, he's bringing it up.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And then he pulls it out, and we're like, holy crap.
Yeah, I didn't believe him. I made him. I was like, let me see the notebook, man. And he pulled it out, and I was like, oh, man, you actually do have an Emoji notebook. I thought you were just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But no, it's legit.
Wait,
it was really there.
Is he actually taking classes?
Yeah, he's a grad student.
Yeah, he's grad.
He's a grad student.
Yeah, him and Kenny are in the grad program. So
okay,
going, so
I was wondering.
That's why they had the late
doing.
Class. Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering what they were doing.
Just walking around campus, not going to class
with an Emoji notebook
and stuff.
Hey, I'll go get some props for your show, and I'll just have you walk around.
Speaking
with
of
the stylus
campus,
pen.
Another thing, and this is before we'll go back to Beyond the Green, but the whole thing with the lucky albino squirrel that was thrown up on the board, I was kind of like, really? I mean, can you do that? I mean, it's kind of like playing announcements or playing music when a play's running. Can you throw that up there? I guess it doesn't matter, does it?
I have no opinion on that.
You don't like the albino squirrel.
I don't like the albino
I don't understand
squirrel.
That. I just you don't like the
albino
squirrel.
You just sucked
mascot.
All the life force out of Harry just
I
now.
Did.
He just slowly crept up to the microphone and just. I don't have an opinion about
it. I just never got it. I never get that. I don't know. Sorry.
Well, after you've graduated for a certain length of time and gotten away, you just don't get it anymore, man. Because you're like still.
Guilty.
You're still pissed that the state club closed, you know? That's what it is. They closed,
Texas,
and you're out, man.
Yeah. The state club. I miss it still.
The Inferno.
The pickup.
Yeah.
Well, that was no, but the Beyond the Green was great. So, what are we looking at? We got tomorrow, 4 o'clock. What's going to be on?
Tomorrow's heavy football. You know, I just said, you know, kind of prefaced it a little bit because, you know, it's really just leading up to the game, and then the game. You know, for game days, you're going to see 2 segments per week, most likely, devoted to each game. And I'm trying to incorporate as much sideline moments and extended locker room moments. That you know, each week, and then you know, because again, I want trying to bring all these coaches out there and trying to get there. I mean, you wouldn't see the offensive line coach normally. You know, you would never see that guy. And Brad Davis is hilarious. First of all,
right?
Can't put a lot of his stuff on camera, but he's a great coach. He's animated, and you're gonna see that. You're gonna see Graham Harrell talking a lot tomorrow, which is cool because Graham is.
We haven't seen enough of him.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll get some this week, and that's the kind of the thing. Well, I just want to give everybody a little bit of a fair warning. Like, you're gonna see a lot of like football stuff, football practice, football meetings, football game. You know, and I know people expect the features all the time, but I want to get I want to see how these guys are coaching. I want you guys to see how these guys are coaching.
So my last thing on that, because you asked for our input, right? You know how Hard Knocks used to have, like, the rookie?
I don't have that much money.
Okay, I know, but the concept, okay? They had the rookie that was...
I can't even afford the concept. I'm just kidding.
They had the rookie that came in, and you got to kind of watch, and sometimes they would not make the team, and then I'm not saying that you'll be able to do that, but it'd be kind of fun to watch a new guy.
Oh, that's in the works.
You know,
yeah.
And I've got a great guy in mind that we could maybe...
Mason Fine, maybe?
You read my mind.
I know. It's so weird. No, there's going to be, like, I love the way the Kenny piece with Alec turned out. Now, if I throw a mic on a kid and we go to class and stuff like that, I can guarantee it won't be that funny. Like, Kenny is pretty charismatic.
He's good.
And he's really opened up, which is awesome. And he was just grabbing people left and right. Like, you know, hey, can I grab you? That one girl's like, no. And he's like, no, I mean, like, talk to you. And it was like a little bit of an awkward moment. And it
which
was kind of
good.
Funny.
I like the awkward.
And I thought, that, you know, my editor did a really good job of kind of like sporadically throwing out little moments to kind of keep it fresh. And
well,
it wasn't
those
extended.
There was two girls that walked
out.
My God, I stink. I just walked. I mean,
they thought
was
Kenny was the quarterback. And then Kenny leans in. No, it was really fun. It turned out way, but I was kind of nervous about that segment, and it turned out way better because I had no idea how Alec Morris was going to be. So I was like, all right, you're bringing Alec Morris. We need to see the quarterback, but is he going to just get pissed that all these player people don't know who he is, or is he going to take it in stride? And he totally took it in stride.
He did a great job.
And hopefully we can get some more things like that. But, you know,
a great start.
Yeah, and you know, I just, you know, this week's going to be pretty heavy football. We're going to have to see the SMU game, but there's some cool locker room moments, some good speeches. I want you guys to hear Seth and see what he says to the team and what he says after a loss and what he says at halftime and what he says at the beginning of the game. And I think that's really important. You guys already knew who Mac was by the time I was doing the show. Everybody knew what Mac was going to do. And there's a realness and he's very genuine. Seth is very, very, very genuine and he's just kind of rolls with it. And you kind of know what he's feeling like you said at the press, you know, you heard at the coach's show, he sounded a little bit like, damn. Lost, you know, and I think that's going to be really cool to see this year.
So showtime again this week. Remind
it's four
our fans.
I think it's four. I think it's going to be 4 o'clock
Central.
Central time. Central Standard Time, according to
Fox,
the friendly Mercantile Tower.
Fox
Mike
Sports.
Southwest. Fox Sports Southwest, channel 676 on DirecTV, and I can't remember what UVerse is, but I know 676 on DirecTV. That's what I have.
It's easy to find.
Of the time, we'll have the YouTube links up by that Friday, maybe early Saturday morning, depending on. I just got to let it air a little bit, but we're also in the process of creating some social media accounts for it. It'll be a Facebook page. I'm going to do a dedicated website as well, so keep an eye out for that. I'll put the links on the board, and everybody like the show, please.
576 on Fios.
576.
It was just added in there. So, All right. Well, then everybody look forward to that. Then look forward to Bethune-Cookman this week. We have no idea what they're bringing because of
45 plays.
Their 45 plays of they will know those 45 plays well, though.
In and out.
Yes. Yeah, so because of their unfortunate situation with the weather this past weekend. So everybody enjoy the game, and we will see you next week. Going green. Oh, wait. Got to say this. We have got some technology here to do a call-in show. So we will probably need...
90's just head exploded.
I know.
It just exploded with just sheer joy.
Yes. Actually, I think he left the room.
You can hear me now?
I think he left the room. So we are going to be doing that, and we are going to be looking at possibly having an off-site screener to screen the calls with some of the technology we have here. That way I don't have to answer the phone and do this. We've got a web interface for it. So shoot us a message if that's something you might be interested in doing. You can make it. I can already think of at least one person who's here every week and that might get talked into doing it. But let us know if you're interested, and we definitely will let you know that you can also call in and join the thing. The other thing we will have is where you can call in and leave a voicemail. You'll be able to leave a voicemail, like your thoughts after the game, and then we'll go through and run those and take recorded messages on your thoughts. So think of them well. Don't ramble on for 10 minutes. But if you got,
we want passion, like right after the game and you're driving home, I want you to have this number to call so we're getting that fresh hot sports opinion.
That's right. We want to know exactly and make it clear, concise, and short. We don't want to listen to 10, 15 calls of 3-minute diatribe on why we did.
You'll get edited if it's too long.
Well, that's right. And then we'll run those through. So anyway, be looking for that the next week, and we will talk to you soon. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.